Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
Broncos country, what's up? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. Happy Wednesday from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network, occasionally heard on Mile High Sports Radio, as well as KOA's Broncos Country Tonight. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by our good friends over there at Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. I'll tell you about them a little bit later on in depth as the show progresses. But on today's episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to break down. The Broncos return back to practice. More contact. The pads came back on after a day previously of no pads due to some of the injuries that the team was sustaining all throughout camp. Soft tissue issues have been something that's been plaguing the Broncos a little bit, but there's some optimism coming around. And we're going to hear from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio today. A little bit of a stay of the Broncos from him. He gives us some insight into where Drew Lock is at, what he's expecting from guys like KJ Handler as they sit out with an injury, plus also a little bit of an insight as to what the Broncos' plans may be for the inside linebacker position. We gave our thoughts on that yesterday, but Vic Fangio gave us his thoughts in a press conference yesterday after practice had concluded. So we get to hear from the Broncos' head man here today, plus Patrick Chiodi and I are going to talk about some of the storylines out of Broncos camp. A lot of praise from tight end Nick Vanette in regards to Albert Okwuegbunam and some of the other stories lines coming out of camp. Jerry Jeudy appeared to have a little bit of a rough day at practice, which was the first time that that's actually been reported. We're going to talk about that, dive into the psychology of the athlete within 19 days away, Fred Brown days away from kickoff on today's episode of the show. So ladies and gentlemen, let's strap in. Let's get locked and loaded on Locked On Broncos. For the most part, Vic Fangio, he opened up his post-practice press conference by giving an injury status update on several players who had missed out on Monday's practice. When can we see KJ Handler, Todd Davis, Michael Ojemudia, and many others?
They're all the same as yesterday. They're day-to-day. I think there's a pretty good chance, better than 50-50, that some of those guys will be out there on Thursday. Not Ojemudia, not Handler, obviously. You can refrain from asking me about those two for a while. Handler longer than Ojemudia. Patrick, good chance Thursday. Purcell, 50-50. And Bosby, good chance Thursday.
Obviously, I can understand where Fangio's coming from. You're constantly being asked about injury updates because that's something that's going on right now all across the National Football League. I know it can get frustrating to ask, but obviously this is just information us as media members need to know or we would want to know. But overall, I think for the Broncos, they're getting some guys back. It'd be great to have Tim Patrick back in lineup, Devontae Bosby as well, especially considering that Bosby is in line in the Broncos cornerback three competition. One of the next questions that Fangio was asked was in pertaining to what the three corner backs in that rotation need to do to really separate themselves from one another. What would Vic Fangio like to see from one of those players in order to determine who is cornerback three for the Broncos this season?
Well, I'm hoping to see that it's so obvious that you guys can make the pick for us. Okay? I don't think that will happen. I think they're all very close. But I'd really like to see one guy surface above the rest and go grab the position and not win it by default. And they all have their pluses and minuses. They've got to accentuate their pluses more, eliminate their minuses, and hopefully we'll find that guy.
If I'm one of those three cornerbacks there, I'm thinking to myself, what is it that I can do to set myself apart from Yadam or Bosby or Devontae Harris? If I was one of those players, I was thinking the opposite overall in terms of where you're looking there. Now, I think that one of the biggest things, too, is he mentioned eliminating some of those minuses, adding on to the pluses. Really, we've seen each cornerback have takeaways, pass breakups in practice. Those are the standard for the position. But what's going to elevate one guy to appear as the best overall option, I think, is the minimal mistakes and the more plays being made. With Devontae Bosby set to return potentially back to the practice field here today at the UCL Training Center, I think there could be an opportunity for him to maybe cement that role probably within the next week or so. Right now, he's the early-on favorite, but Yadam and Harris are having some pretty solid camps as well. I just think that Bosby will probably be the strongest fit for the Broncos on the outside cornerback spot with his ability to react quickly, and he's pretty sizable for a cornerback in comparison to guys like Isaac Yiadom. But outside of all the talk of injuries and wide receivers, Drew Lock has been the talk amongst a lot of national radio spotlight in the recent months here. However, during camp, he's had a sharp practice. He's had a couple low parts at the start of it. But he's really elevated his game, according to Broncos head coach Vic Fangio. But what exactly has Drew Lock gotten better at? What has he improved on? What's standing out specifically to Broncos head coach Vic Fangio regarding the Broncos' potential franchise quarterback?
Well, I like, you know, Drew's got good talent with the throwing the ball. He can throw the ball in all phases of all parts of the field equally well, meaning short, intermediate, and deep. I like his scrambling ability, which is obvious. And I think he's got a pretty good command of the offense. Even though it's a new offense, there is some carryover from last year's offense. He's in a much better spot than he was last year at this time. But it's a guy that only played 5 games. And, you know, he's into his second training camp. Last year's got cut short. And I like where he's at, but he still has a lot of improvement to make, I believe.
One current Denver Broncos player is missing some time with a hamstring, and especially being a rookie, a second-round rookie at that, KJ Hamler has to figure out a way to continue to learn despite him not being on the football field and getting reps. Broncos head coach Vic Fangio also gave him a little bit of advice as to what he can do or what he needs to do to be able to transition back into the lineup and back into the swing of things when his hamstring is fully healed up.
Well, he needs to do what Drew Lock did last year. Now, he's not going to be as out as long as Drew was last year, but he needs to use this time that he's out to get better. Okay. And how are you going to do that as a receiver who's got a hamstring and injury, can't really run the same way a quarterback did last year who had a right thumb injury and couldn't do anything? You know, he's got to analyze and dive into this game from the mental aspect and picture himself out there every play, getting a mental rep and going through it and learning. You know, Drew made great strides last year while he was out. We need KJ to make some of those same strides. Now, he's not going to be out as long as Drew was.
Mental reps and visualization are one of the most important things that any player that is physically unable to be on the practice field can be able to do. Now, even going back to my days coaching, my days playing, when I couldn't do anything, I was constantly just visualizing. And in terms of the mental aspect that Fangio was referring to, watching film, and in terms of the visualization piece, for example, week one, let's say he's not ready week one. This is just a hypothetical. The hope he is going to be ready for week one, but I would be surprised if the hamstring, you know, takes a little bit more time. I wouldn't be surprised if it did that. But here's the deal. What you do is, whoever's playing inside the role that the team has for you, you watch them on film. You know the play call of what play was getting called there. You watch how the player executes it. You go back in the film room after the game. You hear how coach talks about whether or not that person did their responsibility, right? So for Zach Azani, he'd be saying, let's take a look at Fred Brown. Let's take a look at Deontay Spencer. Or let's take a look at Deshaun Hamilton, you know, who could play that role. Let's say that for KJ Hamler, the receiver is supposed to take a jab step to the outside, cut back in right at the top of the DB who's in his back pedal, or if he's at 5 yards off coverage, as soon as he gets to about 4.5, he's got to try to get that DB to commit, to turn his shoulders, turn his hips, and then cut back inside. That's just an example. Now, if the wide receiver doesn't do that, there's coaching points that Zach Azani will make. It is up to KJ Hamler to be able to visualize where he's at in that spot, put himself in that position, and make that adjustment, carry it over in practice, carry it over in the next game when he does play. Those are things that are going to make you better. Drew Lock was doing virtual reality simulations, people. That's appealing. That's very appealing. I tell you what's not appealing, PlaxicoBurrisOnlyFans.com. That's not going to be a good thing to see there. But for virtual reality, I wish that they had more programs you can install actual game film in and you can plug and play, just like what Drew Lock did a little bit, some simulations, but they have to film practice from that standpoint. That could be something that the NFL does going forward. And then lastly, we heard from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio once again on the inside linebacker position. A lot of talk about Justin Hollins, who played a little bit there last year, week 4 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Didn't seem too comfortable at inside linebacker, showed more comfortability at outside, but now the Broncos have no choice. He's going to have to learn a position, but there are some other guys that are also in the mix there as well at inside backer.
Looking for all those guys, really, to surface and be a competitive ILB in the NFL, that one that could go in there and play, and we feel fine calling our defense and not have to feel like we need to protect him and be worried about him. And that goes for everybody, really. So, and Joe's been here long enough now. He ought to be getting closer to that. Hollins just got put back there, so he needs a couple days before we start drawing any conclusions. Josh has been out there every day. He's doing good. Josh has just got to learn the defense better. I think inside linebacker, and when I say learn it better, not his assignments, but just the execution after the ball is snapped. That's, you know, inside linebacker in any system is one of the hardest positions to master. There's a lot of stuff going on quickly that you have to dissect and show up in the right places. And he's a work in progress right now in that regard.
Obviously, a lot of options there for the Broncos as they continue to mix and match some guys at the position. You can see more of Joe Jones, more Justin Hollins. You see even Josh Watson take on an extended role. But for the Broncos, they're going to have to offset the loss of Justin Sternard for the entire season. They have a multitude of options that they can change within defensive scheme. They could go to a dime look. They could go with the more traditional nickel package, which primarily we saw a lot of them in 2019. That could be something they go in forward. But having those depth guys play a major role going forward, I think, is going to be a big consideration for the Broncos. Are trying to achieve. Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. Patrick Chiodi and I are going to break down some of the storylines coming out of yesterday's practice. Hopefully we get some more guys back on the field to be able to talk about Bosby and Tim Patrick on tomorrow's episode of the show. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at Built Bar. And Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar that is out there. And it's the best tasting protein bar that I have ever had. They have 18 amazing flavors, both nut and non-nut flavors all together. Now, originally they had 12. They just launched 6 new flavors. Now back to the previous original flavors, peanut butter brownie and the almond toffee Built Bar flavors were my go-tos, but I've really found solace now in caramel brownie and even cookies and cream. And the thing I like about it too is the bars are made out of 100% chocolate. They're tasty, they're fluffier, they're more delicious than ever before. And I want you to get your hands and your taste buds wrapped around a Built Bar. The bars are soft and they're easy to choose, and they're also great for those of you who are health conscious just like me. It allows you to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat because the bars, they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're great for any kind of diet that you're on. For example, the peanut butter brownie Built Bar features 19 grams of protein. You can work out in the morning, grab yourself a Built Bar, or you can run the track and grab yourself a Built Bar, and you can get the amount of protein that you need in the morning to get you through your workout or whatever it is you do to stay active. And for listeners of Lockdown Broncos, not only do I want you to get your taste buds wrapped around a Built Bar, I want you to get a free pair of Lockdown Broncos socks. I've got 6 pairs of socks left. Johnny O'Sara, listener here of the Lockdown Broncos podcast, sent me a picture at Cody Rourke NFL at Lockdown Broncos of a box of Built Bar that he just ordered and got sent to him by using promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. And it got him $10 off his order. So use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. With that, you'll receive a free cooler with the purchase. And if you take a picture of you receiving the box and you're one of the first 6 people to do so, I will send you a free pair of Lockdown Broncos socks. So once again, check it out, BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. All right, Broncos country, talking here with Patrick Chiodi at Patrick Chiodi on Twitter. Does a lot of great work over there at Pro Football Network. And we got a lot of insight we're going to talk about today because there's obviously some camp notes we got to go over from yesterday's practice. Broncos set to practice once again today at the UCF Training Center. But overall, we heard from Vic Fangio earlier. Some guys, Tim Patrick, Devontae Bosby, a higher than 50-50 chance that they return to the practice field. We got to see Todd Davis come out yesterday for practice and go through stretches, right? So he's getting acclimated. He's ahead of schedule. I imagine he's going to be ready for that week one opener. Von Miller, Melvin Gordon, both back, both participating in 11-on-11 drills all together. For the Broncos, it was a productive practice all together. But there was a storyline coming out of yesterday's practice, Patrick. And, you know, really, I think that so far, every report that we've received on Jerry Jeudy has been positive. There hasn't really been anything that stood out as, you know, he struggled. I mean, he's had a relatively great start to training camp, but apparently yesterday was his real first day where he kind of had some struggles, had a couple of drops. Some of the passes were rumored to be a little outstretched, but they still hit his hands, and he still always tried to make that body adjustment. Now, you and I have played receiver. We understand that the ball placement by the quarterback is not always going to be there. But what is the toughest thing when you're running your routes? Let's say you're running an out route and the quarterback kind of throws it a little bit behind you. You know, how hard, how difficult is it for those that are listening that have never played receiver, that may play football or maybe never played football? A lot of people say, well, he hit his hands, he's got to catch that. Can you explain the intricacies of body adjustment when it comes to a throw in terms of your route, either being in front of you or behind you?
Yeah, man. So if, you know, catching a football at any level, you know, it is definitely a skill that takes a lot of different factors, including timing and body control and different things like that. So when, you know, specifically like talking about running a 5 or a 10 yard out, if that ball is behind you, that's a lot of, twisting the body, contorting the body to kind of make sure that you get your hands in the right spot, because that's the biggest key is not so much, you know, where your shoulders are, where your lower half is, but where the hands are. So if that ball is behind you, you're having to turn your hips, you kind of have to settle down, drop the hips down and put your hands in the right place. And especially if you have a corner that's in trail technique or, you know, is over you, they have a better position to come down and get that ball. So it takes a lot to come down and really secure that catch. If that ball is in front of you, which is where the ball should be, a lot of people would say that the out route or every pass has to be perfectly on the numbers. Well, that's not always going to be the case. Certain routes are designed so that the quarterback leads you to the spot. And the out route is one of those things. The out route, the comeback, any of those outbreaking routes, the quarterback is throwing to a spot and you have to get there. So when the ball is out in front of you, it's your job to, again, make sure that your hands are in the right spot, make sure that, you know, your whole body is really in control. And with Jerry Jeudy, he is one of those guys who throughout camp, he's shown great body control. The corners have said that he always comes out and he brings them something different when he's running his routes, just showing that kind of those different types of body control techniques that he has. I'm not too concerned about the drops. Rookies are, number one, he's a rookie. Number two, wide receivers are not going to catch every single ball that comes to him. That's just a fact. But what it comes down to is how Jeudy learns from this moment. And from what I saw after he had those drops, he came back and he made some very spectacular toe touch catches, especially one in the end zone. So it shows me that he has that mentality to kind of say, you know what? I dropped it. It's fine. It's in the past. Let's move on to the next play. It just echoes something that we've said before on this show. Jeudy has come out with this different mindset. He's not a rookie wide receiver. He's coming out with this mindset that he is a professional, and he's already out there proving that he can be that guy.
And that's something that has stood out too. It just goes back to Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson, AJ Boye. They say that they learn something new, as you alluded to earlier. They learn something new because he changes up his style, which I think in the NFL is great, because how many wide receivers? I mean, thinking out of last year's draft when DK Metcalf was drafted by the Seahawks, guess what the number one Instagram, Twitter critique was of him? Well, he can only run a straight line. He can't really throttle down. He proved that he was more than just a one-trick pony. Even the same thing could be said for Cortland Sutton, pun intended, from him being an SMU guy. But Cortland Sutton evolved. DK Metcalf evolved in his rookie year. Jerry Jeudy is miles ahead of both of those players as a rookie than when those players were rookies. Heck, even when Emmanuel Sanders and other NFL starting wide receiver Julio Jones are asking you for tips and techniques on the release off the line of scrimmage, I think that says a lot. And, you know, for Coach Azani, who's been recruiting this guy since he was 15 years old, I think that we're going to see some magic out of Jerry Jeudy. And really, not just because he's a first round pick, but because he really is an electric player. And I'm more shocked every single day by more footage that we see. How in the hell did he make it to 15? I always thought he was going to the Raiders. That's why many of us had Henry Ruggs mocked to Denver, because we didn't think Jerry Jeudy was going to be anywhere close to being available for Denver. So I think it's a blessing. And look, I'm excited about a guy like Jerry Jeudy, and it's going to be nice to be able to see Tim Patrick come out. And that's one thing too. Benjamin Albright hinted at it a couple weeks ago, watching some of the practices online. One of the things that I've seen is just my favorite lineup so far: Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick is the three wide receivers and 11 personnel. That to me is something that I really like. Deshaun Hamilton is also making plays at camp as well. With KJ Handler's injury, he's going to have an opportunity to stand up there. Duke Dawson making plays in coverage. Really, the Broncos offense and defense, they were going back and forth in yesterday's practice. That's going to be a big test, I think, is really it's going to make the offense better. It's going to make Drew Lock better, especially going against Bradley Chubb, Von Miller, and the back end secondary guys. That to me is what's really appealing about this Broncos team. And so, Patrick, we're going to get into this conversation coming up here in just a moment about really how the lack lack of an NFL preseason, the late start to training camp, what kind of long-term implications could this have on the overall product of the National Football League for the 2020 NFL season? But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at DoorDash. Ladies and gentlemen, look, after a long day, like going back to work, being a teacher, coming home, doing the podcast, some nights I don't want to make a meal. So I rely on DoorDash. And the other day I was craving some Olive Garden chicken gnocchi soup, chicken Alfredo. And guess what? I hit up DoorDash and they brought me my food, what I wanted in the moment. They brought it to my door, left it at the door, rang the doorbell for contactless delivery. And I tell you what, I really enjoyed it. I was able to indulge on it. They even gave me some breadsticks as well to go with my soup. And that's why I'm encouraging you guys to really get on the DoorDash train right now, because we need to continue to support restaurants in our community safely, still with everything at a pause, everything at a standstill. There's not as much open room to be able to go sit in a restaurant, but there are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. So support your favorite local restaurants like Olive Garden the way I did the other night. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. All you got to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat from the restaurant you want to eat it from, and your food will be left safely outside your door with new contactless delivery drop-off settings. Right now, listeners of Lockdown Broncos, you can get $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON. That's one word, LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Patrick, one of the things I wanted to ask you on today's episode of Lockdown Broncos, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, our good friends at Spotify, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button for daily exclusive Denver Broncos content all year long. One of the questions I have, and I go back to my football standpoint, I go back to my days as a player, the dog days of summer leading up to the fall, right before you have, you know, practice. I mean, you go through the whole gamut of OTAs, the offseason program. That was not the case for many NFL players this year, Patrick. And I think that was one thing that's really evident right now with a lot of the injuries that we've seen. We talked about this yesterday. Injury increases are definitely something that we're seeing. Players have not really been able to have the traditional offseason because this whole thing happened in March, right before free agency. Players that were signed were not able to come into their teams, take a physical, get signed, do all this stuff that normally the process would play out in March for free agency. The draft was completely virtual, and there was no OTA program put together because you couldn't go into team facilities due to COVID right now. Things are a little different. Teams are back at the facilities. There is some weightlifting involved still. The strength and conditioning staff for the Broncos, Lauren Lando, they do a phenomenal job. But do you think in this situation, the current climate that we are right now in the National Football League, late start to training camp, that's one thing. The cancellation of all preseason games, no preseason action. What kind of impact do you think this is going to have on the NFL regular season? My initial thoughts, I think we're going to see a lot more penalties. I think we're going to see a lot more injuries. And I think we're going to see a lot of ugly football to start because the preseason games are almost like dress rehearsals. You get to put your offense out there, your defense. They get maybe two or three drives by that game two, game three standpoint. And then you have a little bit of an idea about where you're at as a football team. I'm a little worried now that the NFL, and not just for the Broncos, but other teams are going to have the same issue. It could be good. It could be bad. What are your thoughts?
No, you hit it right on the head. You know, not having these preseason games and not having that time to prepare for these types of situations, it's going to be difficult for teams. We're going to see some ugly football coming out to start. Like you said, more penalties. I mean, that's a result of less discipline and not being able to be in those pregame situations, the preseason game situations, especially for guys that aren't as experienced, you know, rookies coming in. Guys that really haven't played in NFL games before, they don't understand, you know, some of those college things that you got away with in college, you're not going to get away with in the NFL. So, you know, more penalties, more injuries for sure, because going against your own team, that's one thing. But now you're going against a different team in a live regular season setting, and the stakes are a lot higher. You know, people tend to shake off, you know, the start of the season, but look at how important the start of the season last year was for the Denver Broncos. I mean, you have to take those first weeks very seriously, and not having that time to dress rehearse your your day, not just the actual playing of the game, but your schedule during game days, your warm-up schedule, your stretching schedule, your weekly installs, different things like that, that will all take an effect for every single team in this league. And you're right. We're going to see some just ugly football. I mean, we might see some low scoring games. We might see some high scoring games because teams aren't playing disciplined defense. The penalties are going to be ramping up. So I think it's kind of going to be all over the place. Things will probably settle down probably around week four, week five. But I do think that it's not putting them in a position to really succeed early on in the season, where, you know, most teams, or not most, but some teams do come out after the preseason and they have that hot start, you know, and it's because they have that time to really put their game plan together. People don't really understand how much that game day routine goes into how a team plays on the field. Our experience, you know, every player's different. My game day routine was the same year in, year out. And it always affected how I played on the field. I mean, down to the socks that I was wearing in game, every little detail goes into playing in a football game at every level. So not having that time to really get into a groove, not having that time to really set your plan in stone, I think it's going to have an effect. That being said, with the Broncos, you know, Vic Fangio has said that they're kind of treating these next few weeks as that type of situation where they are going to go through their game day situation. They are going to do more prep for the Tennessee Titans come week one. So that's good to hear. That's showing me that Vic's experience in this league and his ability to kind of adapt to the current situation, it might bode well for the Broncos and how they attack the first few weeks of the season.
I'd rather have Vic Fangio right now as my coach than Joe Judge. I mean, reports coming out of the New York Giants right now is not pretty. Apparently, the Giants, they weren't having a great practice, and so Joe Judge ripped them like worse than Josh McDaniels did on TV the one time he dropped the F-bomb on the NFL Network, and he made him stay an additional half hour, so it ended up being a three-hour practice. And I can tell you this, a lot of grown men don't take to being talked to like that. Now, Vic Fangio, the Broncos coaching staff, they have ways of addressing it, but it's never in a way where you see them really degrading players or talking down to them. It's really correctiveness. It's about football. It's about getting them better as football players. That's one thing I've always appreciated about the Broncos staff they have now, which is why I think they're going to be okay. But my biggest concern, Patrick, is you're going to try to go in. You're going to try to prepare for the Tennessee Titans. Not much has changed with them. You know, Ryan Tannehill played a little bit of the second half for the Titans in the Broncos game in week six last season. But you don't have any of that preseason film to maybe see if they come out with any new wrinkles, new looks. That to me is always a little bit concerning because we've mainly seen Derrick Henry play action. I think the Broncos are going to prepare for that, but there might be some other wrinkles. You may see Tannehill more shotgun. You never know. And that's the thing I think is going to be the concerning part about the offseason is we have no idea what other teams are going to look like just yet. We're going to have to wait till week one. Coaches are going to have to wait till week one, till after that, till they get the game film like we do and say, okay, this is what we have to prepare for. This is what they're doing different in comparison to what they did last year. So that's going to be a big challenge for the NFL. And I think for the Broncos a little bit. In Broncos country, Patrick and I would love to hear from you. Let us know on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL, at Patrick Keyote. Let us know your thoughts on what the 2020 NFL season could look like without obviously the training camp and with just us being 19 days away from kickoff. It is going to be here faster than ever, folks. And you can expect a daily episode, Lockdown Broncos, here, courtesy of Cody Rourke, Patrick Keyote, Zach Seegers. We're going to break things down for Broncos country from an X's and O's standpoint. Objectivity. We're going to take a look at losses. We're going to take a look at wins from both sides. We're going to analyze every single angle for you here. Lockdown Broncos. With that said, I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke. I'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show, and I'll be joined alongside by Patrick and Zach on tomorrow's episode of the show.